Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. And today we have a very special podcast coming up on our show. These guys are the host of Nerd Dose Podcast, where you can hear them talk about movies, TV shows, and movie news. We are honored to have these incredible gentlemen on our show with us today. So please, let's all welcome Zach and Kyle. How are you guys doing?
Woo!
We're doing good, man.
Yeah, I'm so happy we're doing another collaboration. I can't believe we're doing it in general. I'm so happy to be here.
Great to be here.
We're happy to have you. Before we begin, let's start wishing Kyle a very happy belated birthday. I know it just passed last week, right?
Yeah, it was July 30th. Yeah, it was really fun. I had to obviously drink, because why not, and had to go bar hopping. But yeah, it was such a fun day, and thank you so much, guys. It was really unexpected, but thank you.
Were you there for him, Zach? Support him?
So I had work at like 6 a.m. the next day, so I could not.
Oh.
But I did just order his second present today.
Oh, there we go. I forgot he did that for me. He did get me a Khonshu Funko Pop and a shot glass that says New Asgard, so very sweet.
That's
of him.
So cool.
I was gonna say, if you got him one of those hot toys we were just talking about before we started the podcast. the giant Thanos that he really doesn't want in his room.
Possibly. Or I could just dress up as Thanos and just watch him sleep. No.
That's funny. Well, yeah, we're glad you had a good time. We're glad you enjoyed your birthday. But I want to ask you guys real fast, what have you guys recently been watching as of late? Like what's been on your feed? What's been happening?
So what I've been watching is MasterChef, because I love cooking shows. Gordon Ramsay is like my god to like loving food and stuff.
No. Sorry. Andrew loves Gordon Ramsay.
Yes!
He's my idol. Fun fact, like Gordon Ramsay and I share the same birthday.
Oh my
really?
Gosh. Yeah. With the god himself.
That's amazing. Yeah, MasterChef Back to Win season is like my favorite so far, because it's all of the contestants from previous seasons who lost, and they're all in this show now. And I just, every time I see someone that I remember watching them from, it's like, it made me tear up a lot, because I just remember from that season when I watched them. So yeah, that's what I've been watching. I've also been watching some animes, actually, on Netflix called Kakegurui. It's about a high school that deals with gambling, and they learn how to gamble and stuff, and you see like all these different tricks on like how to win against these gambling games. Pretty intense, and also kind of weird and interesting, but if you are into anime, that's been something really cool to look into. So yeah.
This man watches all the anime. Any anime you could think of, he's probably seen it.
Yes.
you're just one big encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
watched Made
yeah.
in Abyss,
Kyle? Oh, don't get me started on Made in Abyss.
I think
I'm
I
so
saw...
nervous.
Yeah. Years ago, I saw like the first season. It was definitely unique, what I remember it.
Oh, yeah, very unique. And I know there's like some movies that have came out recently, and I'm not sure. I think season two is going on now, or I think it finished, if I can remember. But
I think, yeah, just aired or something.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful, and I love the music in that scene, and the animation is so freaking crisp. But very dark themed as well on top of it, which is a very interesting mix.
Kai, what's the show that, like, a rock turned into a human?
A rock turned into a human?
Yeah, like it slowly like morphed in, like it evolved into a human.
Oh my god.
Oh, I'm curious now.
I remember Everything Everywhere All at Once, a human turns into a rock for one of those.
Yes, that's it. Yes.
I remember that.
Oh my god, I can't remember.
All I know is
there's a slime.
Like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
No, I don't think so. I think it's some weird obscure one, I feel like. I know there's like an anime where it's a slime. It was like some guy, and then he died, turned into like some slime monster, and then the slime monster became a human. That's all. That's one I know of, but I don't know about the rock
that's
one.
That's funny.
Okay, that could be close enough.
Yeah, if you remember, Kyle, let us know. Because I remember like the last anime I saw was either the Jujutsu Kaisen movie, but then like the series I was watching was RE0. I think that's the one I was like recently going into. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, that's good. I like him. That's cool that you're the anime guy
now we know.
Any of our go-to questions.
We'll be coming to you.
Encyclopedia, for sure.
Definitely. It's not like I studied Japanese for 3 years in college.
See, I took the easy route and took Spanish. I applaud you for doing Japanese.
Same here.
All right, Zach, tell us, what have you been watching?
So I just wrapped up on The Bear last week, I think it was. Really good show. Absolutely loved it. I've been thinking about, or Kyle and I have been talking about restarting Daredevil. I think I might finally watch Dope Sick on Hulu. That was great, and it works perfectly because we're both pharmacy students, so it correlates with us big time. But other than that, just like your typical like Master Chef, I throw on a lot of Food Network, just like Kyle. I just watched Prey. That movie's awesome.
We just saw that movie as well. Like,
we liked
2 days ago or so. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a ton of fun with it, and I was very surprised by it. It was such a blast. I absolutely loved it. I've seen her before. When I pulled up her filmography, I was like, she was in Legion. And that completely went right over my head. And I think she was like, I'm pretty sure she was a mute in Legion. She didn't talk at all. Or at least her character did it, and it just like went right over my head when I recognized her on Prey. But yeah, I think she's like our age. I think she's like 26-ish.
Yeah, I know for sure. So, but that's cool.
Sure.
I mean, of course, I had to do a little Googling.
More than the same year.
A chance. So, what did you think of Prey? Like, what would you say overall your consensus was of that movie?
I thought it was just a really fun movie. I thought it was just as good as the original, maybe a little bit slightly underneath it, but definitely the best one since the original came out. I just thought the landscape was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And just the idea of like taking this, you know, taking the Predator and just plopping it at any like time point throughout history and then watching it adapt. I've been listening to like podcast episodes about it, others, and just some of the stuff that I didn't pick up on just went right over my head that I'm realizing. I'm like, wow, just a really well done of a movie. And it makes me mad it's not in theaters. It should have been a theater movie.
Yes, it should have been.
Yeah, it should have. And you mentioned that thing about the whole time. It's going to be interesting if they keep doing it, if they keep going back or forward. Like, in a way, this could become this sort of like Assassin's Creed franchise for Prey, where they just enter the Predator like in all these different eras, like Revolutionary War, I don't know, 2000 BC, I don't know, millions of years ago. It's a lot of different directions I can go with it, but yeah, the main thing that stood out to me, I think Andrew as well, was the gorgeous cinematography from Dan
so
Trachtenberg.
Beautiful.
I mean, this is just watching it on your home screen was good enough, and like you mentioned, Zach, it should have been in theaters.
It was very immersive. I felt like I was right there. And the camera work was just very, very good. I thought the editing was really well done in that movie.
Yeah, we thought so too. The only thing that we had a little problem with was kind of like the lackluster dialogue. I feel like the scripting wasn't as strong there, mm-hmm. but that was probably the most, I guess, gripe that we had with the movie.
So like the very opening of the movie, like you don't hear any dialogue, and then it pans over to her and her brother, and then he starts speaking English. Like, I don't know why. That's just, like, I literally took a double take. Like, the way, like, I just didn't expect it.
Yeah, and they kind of spoke, like, I don't know how you would speak, kind of, like, more modern-day language, in the sense, the English. It didn't really feel like it was thematically defined. Kind of like, I don't know if you guys have seen The Northmen, but in that, even though it's in English, they try to speak in a different way. But in this, it's just kind of like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going? You know, it's stuff like that. So, but, you know, beyond that, I think if you just kind of pause your imagination or whatever, it still works.
Yeah, I see. I think I saw a post on Twitter saying like drop Predator and what is it, like Japanese history
or like a feudal Japan era.
Yeah,
oh, that would be amazing.
So cool.
Shoot,
a samurai versus a Predator.
They have so much options they could go with now, but I feel like if they exhaust all of these sort of situations, then it's going to be just the same formula over and over again, and people might get turned off.
Yeah.
But if they do it right a second time, they could do well.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the last Predator movie?
I haven't.
It's so funny. So I have not seen any Predator movie except this one. I feel bad to say that.
I don't want
to
hear that.
I saw Predators. Andrew, I saw Predators with your brother. Like, was it like 10 years ago? The one with like Adrian Brody and all those people.
Kyle, you said you were watching MasterChef, right?
Recently? Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. I remember it was like last year I just binged all of Hell's Kitchen, and it was because of that show that I went to Vegas in October, and I was like, I need to go try Hell's Kitchen. Like, I need to try
there?
That restaurant. Yeah.
How was it?
It was like, it's really, really good. Like, the food's incredible. It's amazing. So if you ever get a chance to like get his food at anywhere, just definitely do it. And you get the same thing from the show. You get your beef Wellington, you get your toffee cake. It's fantastic. So make an excuse, all of you listening, especially you guys here, make an excuse to go to Hell's Kitchen.
What about Salt Bae's restaurant?
That is just overrated. Don't even bother with it.
I was testing.
Nah. No, I've always wanted to go to Hell's Kitchen restaurant in Vegas. I have relatives that live there, and or they visited the Hell's Kitchen, and they said it was amazing. And like, but I saw the prices. I think it's like, what? I think $90 or something for like one of the dishes.
It's worth it. Yeah, it's weird. I'm telling you that right now. Yeah, you won't pay for anything better than that. So,
and it's the experience also you're getting.
Yeah, and you also get pictures in front of like the whole blue and red kitchen. So it's a whole vibe. Definitely.
So were they actually filming the show while this?
Oh God, no! They filmed like L.A., dude.
All right.
Yeah,
I think like I've read a thing where if you were to like go and be, you can actually eat there for free if they're filming the show, but it's like the lottery system, you know?
To get
a reservation and all that, and then you can eat at the film location and actually see the show being filmed and with the competition and stuff. But you know, that's the risk you're willing to take. Like, are you going to eat or not, essentially? So
you've really dived into this, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I like,
you really want to be on research. This.
I want to be on this so badly. Once I finish in my schooling and all that, and I'm definitely going to be going to Vegas or like looking into stuff where I can actually be in the show just to eat there.
Well, that's great that we got to know a little bit into you guys' life and see what you've been watching or binging and your interests. So now we know Kyle is the anime and food kind of expert here, and Zach has definitely been onto the whole Netflix grind, so we love that. But how do you guys feel about jumping into our debate segment? What do you guys think? You ready?
Let's I'm nervous.
Yeah, same.
All right, so
I go hard. I'm serious.
I heard the last one, and I'm a little nervous.
So again, it's Zach, right? You're gonna be the one coming up against Santi.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
Okay, so here we go. So for all of you listening, we're going to be talking about Interstellar, and one of us here doesn't believe in the hype around it, and another one definitely does believe it deserves all the hype. And we'll leave it up to you guys to figure out who's who. But all right, Kyle, you and I are going to have to keep them in check. We're going to make sure they're equal in time, but let's get this going. So I want to give the first point to Zach. Let's see, Zach, what do you have to say about Interstellar?
Okay. I will start off by saying this. I think the movie is good. I just don't think it deserves the hype that it gets. You know, you go to an average moviegoer who watches all the action movies, maybe not so much a superhero lover, but you ask them what their favorite movie is, 9 out of 10 of the times, it's going to be like Interstellar or Interstellar's in their top 5. And I just have no idea why. It makes no sense. I saw this movie when it came out back in 2014. I had so much hype around it, especially following Inception, The Dark Knight Rises, The Dark Knight with Nolan. And I was just confused. I was confused and I thought it was pretty good. I didn't understand why people loved it so much. And I think the twist was predictable. I feel like we've seen it way too many times in a story where, you know, like, the child ends up becoming older than the adult. And it just, I don't know, just a very predictable movie, I thought.
All right, so Zach, that is your opening statement. Santi, what do you have for rebuttal?
To me, great movies make you forget about life. I'm going to give a quick story. So I wanted to go watch this movie in IMAX. I drove like an hour to go to an IMAX theater. It was weird. Parking situation. I didn't know, was I gonna get towed? Was I allowed to park here or not? And I parked there. I was gonna be late for my movie, and I'm walking in and I'm sitting down. I'm watching the previews and I'm like sweating bullets. I'm like, my god, I'm gonna get towed. I'm not gonna have a car when I get back. I was really worried. 20 minutes into the movie and I forgot all about that. By the end of it, I didn't even remember, you know, did I even have a car? Did I have a car to get back to? Did I have a spaceship in the parking lot? I don't know what was going on. And to me, yes, this film isn't without flaws, but the heights it reaches to me are extraordinary. By the end of it, you kind of feel like you've gone through the same epic adventure. You know, some films, you just kind of witness it. You watch the actors, the characters, the story unfold on screen. I felt like I experienced this movie, and I've rewatched it a couple times at home since that, and it gives me that same feeling. It's not the kind of thing I can just kind of put on. It's like a religious experience. I got to get myself ready for it. I do agree. It's not perfect, but I totally understand why some people think it's one of their favorite movies. It may not be one of the great movies in terms of its overall composition, but just because of how everything comes together with the story, the soundtrack, the cinematography, the gorgeous visuals and VFX, I just think it comes together, and it's just one of those things that's like, yeah, it's not perfect, but I love it. It's just, there's just so much greatness in here, and it's just a great science fiction epic, and if you don't think about it too hard, it's great.
All right, Zach, what do you think about Santi saying that it definitely gives you an out-of-body experience and makes you forget everything else around you? Does that still mean that it deserves all the excitement around it?
No, not a chance. I have a question for you, Santi. Did they provide cotton swabs for your ears after you left the IMAX experience?
I did not need them for Interstellar, but I think for Dunkirk and IMAX, I did need them.
Because I've seen Godzilla in IMAX, and I can tell you that was quieter than Interstellar in a normal theater.
Yeah, it was definitely loud, but I mean, we're talking about Hans Zimmer, the maestro. This guy's this soundtrack is one of the top 10 soundtracks of all time. I mean, it's just masterful. I will gladly accept the hearing loss, the tinnitus, anything to hear Hans Zimmer's soundtrack in beautiful IMAX again.
You're not wrong there. Hans Zimmer did an excellent job. I go back often to re-listen to Time. I agree with you on that one. Takes me away to a different place.
Yeah, okay. So, there's some issues with the first, I say, 20 to 30 minutes of this film. But to me, what makes it so impactful is that this movie's touching 3 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. But it feels, in a good way, like you've gone through this 30-year, 300-year adventure. The pacing, I think, in the film of this magnitude and scope is so difficult to put together that only someone like Nolan can do it. It's just so well edited. If you really think about every different set piece that they go through, every different scene that they go through in this film, this could have been a very bloated, sloppy, slow movie, but it's just, you're just glued to it the whole time. It's just amazing. I don't know. I love it.
What do you think of him traveling through the fourth dimension? At least that's how I describe it. Like,
what?
It doesn't make sense that he can time travel, but not time travel, communicate across universes or timelines.
Well, Zach, what you have to understand is that this movie is about love. This movie's about love, above all things. You don't need to worry about the science fiction. You don't know anything about dark holes. I've never been in a dark hole. The only darkest hole in my life was when Andrew and I, our Black Phone podcast, got deleted on Audacity. And we were able to recover. That was my dark hole moment. This movie, look, I think the sci-fi stuff, they actually talked to a real-life physicist. I don't know if he's still alive. But we can bring him on the podcast, but apparently a lot of this stuff does check out. All you got to do is fold a piece of paper in half and punch a pencil through it, and it'll just click in your mind.
All right, give Zach a time to breathe, Santi. You're going in on him, so give him a chance. All right, Zach, what do you have to say to all that?
Well, wasn't there a movie that just came out within the past few months that mentioned Interstellar? Like, have you ever seen Interstellar and then did that exact same...
Thor did that.
What did?
I think it was Thor.
Yeah, it was Thor, wasn't it? Oh my god! I rolled my eyes.
She did the paper thing too. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She did the paper thing. I'm like, that movie's too fresh to be making references in other movies. Not a chance.
That's how great it is.
It was made in 2014, though, so like, it's still relevant regardless. It's a space movie where it's actual knowledge that can be applied to today, essentially.
No, it's funny you mentioned a love story. But I felt the love connection between Anne Hathaway and Matthew McConaughey very much so. You can't sense the sarcasm.
Yeah, I mean, Anne Hathaway's, I think her monologue, which I think is a little overly criticized these days, is just more so about her just expressing that, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, look at the world they're living in. The only thing they have left in this world is corn and baseball. I mean, I can't think of any more American things that are ever going to survive 300 years, 5,000 years into the future. They got corn, baseball. They're losing their okra. The okra crops are going. That's why they got to leave because, you know, okra's got all this great vitamin A, vitamin C stuff, but corn doesn't have that. So they got to leave. And she's essentially saying, like, if we're going to, like, continue to live, survive as this sort of humanity, you know, if I have a chance to experience my love for the, I don't know what the astronaut's guy was. I think he died because later in the end of the movie, we see her planting the flag. I think to me, that's kind of what she was talking about. But the true love story to me was with Matthew McConaughey's character and his daughter. I mean, that scene where he missed like 22 years and she's just growing up and calling him and he's crying. I was crying. I'm crying right now thinking about it. That to me was the real love story in this film. And I think the sci-fi is like hard enough. What I really like about it, I'll give you a chance in a second, is the simple and realistic approach to the apocalypse. It's not a war, it's not a meteor, it's not, you know, anything like that. It's just generally like the food supplies are just dying due to, I don't know, pests, locusts, anything like that. The lack of sound and space was done wonderfully. Acting again was brilliant, and I think it just holds up. And I think it being mentioned in Thor is just a testament to how many people love this film.
All right, Zach, do not hold back. Give us some main points back to back of why you think it still does not deserve all the hype.
Well, I just think it's funny is if he's the best pilot ever to come known to man in mankind as of like at the very moment, why is he still a farmer? Why did they let him become a farmer? You know, why did they need him specifically? I just, there's so, like you mentioned, they said a religious kind of like take on it. Like, it's funny because that's what happens at the end of the movie. Adam and Eve going off to recreate humanity. I don't know. The movie just felt very long. I really do enjoy the wormhole scene. I studied physics for about 2 years. So yes, I have some correlation to that, but don't get me wrong. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense why so many people love it. Like I can agree that I thought Ad Astra was just as good as Interstellar.
You talking about movies putting you to sleep? I think Ad Astra might be my best putting me to sleep movie of all time. as much as I love I love sci-fi, and I still like found a way to enjoy it. I thought that movie was pretty boring. But just keeping it to Interstellar, I think Kyle, you're going to mention a point real quick. But yeah. I'm not going to shill that hard for a movie that I know like the dumbest thing in Interstellar, which I think like if you just kind of forget about the first 30 minutes and just focus on the space stuff, it's an epic. But the fact that this guy is like, you know, grazing, you know, cattle and corn and that sort of stuff, then like he just drives his truck and he's like, all right, get on board, man, we're going to space. No training, no nothing like that. Yeah, a lot of that stuff was a little silly, but just the way it all ties in together with the books, the compass and everything like that, it was wonderfully done. I didn't see the twist coming.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, Zach, let's get into closing arguments now. So, Zach, give us your last big point, and then we'll end it with Santi. And then I want Kyle at the end of all this to tell us what he thinks wins it all here. So, all right, Zach, hit us with your final closing argument.
So I think the biggest closing argument is just after the wormhole experience, when he's just in that, what is it, like the fourth dimension? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And how he gets out, like it makes no sense whatsoever. I just don't understand how him tapping on a line in midair somehow transitioned to Morse code to his daughter 30 years before that. Like, it makes no sense. You say physics was involved? How does physics explain that one? I have no idea.
All right, Santi, give us your last closing argument.
I think there's a lot of things when it comes to these sort of sci-fi adventure, big scale films that aren't always going to make sense. And I think that's part of the beauty of cinema, and in this case, why it just touches people. Like, I think for me, what's important is that does it work for the viewer? I think if for a lot of these sci-fi films, if we think about it too hard, a lot of those ultimately is the point getting across to the viewer. And in this case, when it comes to a lot of the stuff they deal with in space and in wormholes, we don't know what's out there. So interpreting that stuff and leaving it up to imagination, I think, is part of the beauty of cinema. I don't think it's the most flawless film of all time. I do understand why people love it so much, because I think it did just took them for an adventure. That's sometimes what people want when they go to the theaters.
I was going to ask, is this in your like top 25 favorite movies of all time?
No. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
All right, Kyle, hop in here. Let us know. So, between these two, who do you give the final verdict to?
So I'm giving the final verdict to Santi, only because I love Interstellar as much. I just love it all in general. Like, the music, like we were talking about, it's one of my favorites. I actually use the music to study with. One of my favorite soundtracks is Miller's Planet, where they're on that planet where every hour is 7 years. And if you listen to the soundtrack, every tick you hear is essentially a day on Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's just so cool just to think that that's happening to them in the movie. And, you know, other points that I have is it's so realistic. It's so space. You can see the relationship. You can see the connections with everyone, with Bradley, with Matthew McConaughey and a daughter, and with Anne Hathaway and his dad, trying to figure out what to do with this world, how to save them, how to save humanity. You can see the fragility as well with everyone in the cast. And, you know, since it's a big space movie, it's space and it's the whole entire universe. We never know what is out there. It's still growing and still stuff that we have to learn about regardless. Like you said with the fourth dimension, yeah, that is such a weird concept, but do we even have a true definition of what the fourth dimension looks like? That's probably what Matthew McConaughey's character had to, in his brain, is what his fourth dimension was like, is because of what the beings are. So yeah, everyone's fourth dimension could be different. Shoot, what could our fourth dimension be like? And, you know, it makes us feel like we can't really do anything because everything's inevitable. We can't really do anything with space. Space is there. That's its whole other dimension that we can't even tackle. We're just have to see how to adapt to it, how to change, and how to make it work with us instead of against us. And, you know, you can also see with that big analogy of the paper being so thin, you know, how it connects, mm-hmm. you know, from one place of space to another. You know, that's just with reality and with, like, loved ones. You have that big wormhole, and then you have to use that to connect with each other, just with reality and with your loved ones in general.
Wow, I'm having, like, an existential crisis right now.
I'm about to go home. What I'm about to leave the podcast. Go watch the movie again.
You made everything feel so irrelevant. Like, we're just tiny specks in the vast space.
You forget you're on our podcast, buddy?
I have a lot of thoughts. Andrew, do you like Interstellar?
I actually do. I that's why I feel bad that Zach
is surrounded.
Is a 3-1 here.
I do like the movie. I just don't think it's like people's favorite movie of all time. Like,
it's such a big lesson. There's so many lessons you learn through it, in my opinion. Like, and I love music. I love the music. That's like my biggest thing with it.
Kyle, we love you, man.
Thank you.
We should have a YouTube debate.
But yeah, thank you, Zach, for really holding your own. We really respect that. We appreciate it. You came in, guns blazing, and you made it out alive. So I appreciate
barely.
We got to do our tickets, Andrew. Go around real
quick. That's right. All right, real quick, around the table. We'll start with Zach, since he's the one who got attacked here. What would you give out of, let's say, a 5? What would you give Interstellar?
I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
That doesn't work. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Give it a solid 8 out of 10 for sure.
8 out of 10. Okay, mm-hmm. How about out of 10 then, Santi? What do you say? Out of 10.
The movie itself is like a 8 out of 10, but the experience is like a 9.5.
How about you, Kyle?
Yeah, probably around a 9 to 9.5 out of 10, or 4.5 out of 10, or 4 to 5, 4 out of 4.5 out of 5, essentially. Yeah. I just love the lessons and just space in general. It's just such a good concept.
Yeah, I'll for sure agree with you guys. I'll probably put this up as a 9 out of 10 or 4.5 out of 5. I remember seeing it even for like the second time, just gripping like my couch of like the intensity. Like you feel it, like as they're mm-hmm. going through space or as they're moving. I don't know. To me, I felt the impact of the film that it was trying to portray. Still, I think one of Nolan's greatest films in my. But aside from the Dark Knight movie, of course.
Do yourself mm-hmm. a favor and read. Was it Jonathan Nolan's the original script for this movie or the screenplay? And it's maybe Zach, you'd like that one more. It's a little bit more hard. I don't want to say hard sci-fi. But it's a little more sci-fi focused, less about love and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that definitely sounds interesting for sure.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for participating in this little debate. But let's move on and let's keep the animosity going. So this time, I'm gonna pit Kyle against Zach. So we're going to do a little trivia game, and we're going to see between the two of you who knows your movie trivia the best. So again, the theme is 2010 to 2015. We have 10 questions. First one of the highest amount wins. And if anything, we have a tiebreaker. But let's go. Let's get
it
started.
How you guys feel? Real quick.
Go for it.
Kyle is a trivia guru. I'm good with this one too. He literally watches trivia like every night.
I watch Jeopardy every night, except tonight, obviously. Well, every other, give or take. But yeah, Jeopardy is my favorite, and I love trivia. So
we're sorry, barely Zach. Making it out alive for this one too. Oh,
well, we'll see. You never know. Like,
this isn't even.
I know my movie trivia though. So definitely.
This isn't even like a movie podcast. It's like a roast of Zach now.
I love it.
All right, I tried to pick as much obscure things from my head as possible and not really the internet. So let's see how we do here. All right, so we'll start off with question one. Okay. Who is the movie 42 about that was released in 2013?
Do we need to buzz in?
Yeah, just say buzz.
Okay. Buzz. Jackie Robinson.
Okay. All right. Zach has 1 point now because that is correct. Santi, I want you to keep track of the points for me.
Chadwick Boseman. All right, so early on.
Okay, well, I got it.
Second question: this 2015 Oscar winner for Best Picture stars Emma Stone and Michael Keaton.
Buzz.
I heard Kyle.
Oh God. Birdman.
There it is. You got it. Third question: this movie stars and is directed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt is called what? What do we think?
Give a hint about...
You said he starred?
So a hint is Scarlett Johansson's in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Buzz. Okay.
Go ahead.
Is this Don John?
Yes. There we go.
Awesome. Look at trailer. That. Awesome trailer.
I like that movie.
I know. It was actually not a bad one.
I've never seen it.
How do you know that, then? Guess, then.
Dude, because I'm addicted to trailers.
What's the score so far?
We got I got 2-1 Zach. Is that correct?
All right, 2-1 Zach. Okay, here we go. Fourth question here. This movie stars and is directed by Jon Favreau with Sofia Vergara playing his ex-wife.
Buzz. Chef.
I was gonna say that.
Got a new cooking guru.
Oh. I love that movie.
One of my favorites too. I love
great,
Chef.
Great film.
Very underrated.
Just say like just Jon Favreau just like casting all these like models as like his wife, his ex-wife, his girlfriend.
he's playing it well. I have to give him respect for that. Yeah, we all would do the same thing.
Scarlett Johansson is love interest in that movie too.
Yeah, it's like a 3-2 movie.
All right, here we go. What score now? We have 3-1.
Oh,
Kyle, yeah. Come on, man. What happened to that Jeopardy trivia here?
I know. Yeah, y'all screwed me over. It's fine.
All right, here we go. Next question. This movie was the highest grossing film of 2015 and the third film of all time to reach $2 billion.
Buzz, Jurassic World.
No.
Oh no, gosh. I know what it is.
Repeat the question.
Here we go. This movie was the highest grossing film of 2015 and the third film of all time to reach $2 billion.
I'll give another quick hint. It's the highest grossing film of all time, North America.
Can I buzz again?
Yes, Zach.
It's Force Awakens.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
Jurassic World was right behind Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I forgot. That came out like winter of 2015.
See, I think this is just all a ruse. At first, you try to put yourself as like the less known trivia guy, and here you are up top.
Yeah, already beating like, me, the hell.
It's like when you play horse with someone on the basketball court. Like, yeah, I don't play basketball. It just drains like three-pointers from like 30 feet beyond.
Just becomes Michael Jordan.
Here we go, next question. All right. This one, I feel like both of you guys should get. So now it's only a matter of who says it first. Which Guardian was trained by Thanos to be his personal assassin in a 2014 film, Guardians of the Galaxy?
Buzz.
All right, Zach?
Gamora.
Yeah. There we go. Kyle, where are you, man?
I keep second-guessing myself, and I'm like, no, it's
not. No, go with your gut, man.
Shut up. I'll get there. It's fine.
I love it. Okay.
Psych myself up.
All right. Next question. First of all, score, Santi, score.
I got 5-1 Zach.
Oh, all right, Kyle, you still got a chance with these next coming up questions. So let's see. All right, next question. Here we go. In 2013, this film is about a garden snail. What is it?
Oh, Buzz?
Yes,
Turbo. Kyle. Turbo?
There we go. Yes, oh, Turbo.
I didn't know that one, Andrew.
Oh, my God. It's so dumb. Snail that melts out of fast as hell for no reason.
A NASCAR driver.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Snail.
But all right, Kyle's on the board with two points.
That's right.
Let's go.
He has a chance. If you get these next three, Kyle, we will go to the tiebreaker. So this is your chance. So next question. What film features the song Happy by Pharrell Williams?
Buzz.
Kyle.
Despicable Me 2.
You want to... Yeah, so there we go. Despicable Me 2 is the correct answer.
Oh, man. We're going
animated. Are they just gaming us, Andrew, trying to make this like more intense coming down to the wire? They're like...
I don't know.
Every question, just... texting each other, like, you do this one. I'm like,
no, legit, we're not.
Kyle knows his animated movies.
Yes. And it's Despicable Me.
So, we'll see who gets this next question then, because I like seeing that the intensity here is growing. All right, here we go. What year was Disney's hit movie Frozen released?
Buzz.
Kyle.
2013?
Yes, there we go. Yeah.
5-4.
Another anime question.
Got you, boy.
I almost said 2014, right. So that's, yeah.
That's good. This is interesting. Kyle's coming up right now. Okay, Santi, score.
5-4. Zach, Kyle is on a 3-question streak.
Okay, Kyle, if you get this next question, we will go to a tiebreaker, and I kind of hope that we do.
I know.
So here we go.
So Zach, don't say anything, Zach.
Right, give me like a 5-second delay.
Next question. Who was originally cast as Django in Quentin Tarantino's Western film?
Oh, Buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Zach?
Will Smith.
There we go. It was Will Smith.
Dang.
Great question.
That's a good
Zach
one. No, that's a good
it
one.
6-4.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just ask the tiebreaker question as just a funsy point.
Not
to see
funsy.
Who
let's
gets
make it work. What do you? Double or nothing.
Fine.
Make
Zach Power.
Risk it all. Risk it all. Or
offer an all or nothing. Here we go. All or nothing.
Go for it. Bet it all.
Okay. This is unfortunate because this might give an advantage to somebody. So here we go. In the Lego movie, what is the name of the song sung by all the workers to celebrate teamwork and playing a role in society?
Buzz. No.
I heard Zach.
Everything is awesome.
There it is.
Well done.
Lonely Island.
Well done.
Yeah. By the Lonely Island. There we go, Zach. Winner of the trivia from the movies 2010 and 2015. We love it. Kyle, where were all these answers before?
Oh, it just had to... I had to get like a kick in the butt just to like push me over to get my trivia brain working.
Wow, that was awesome. We love it. How'd you guys feel about that?
No, dude, that is such a fun game. I love that.
It is. I love trivia also. So like any type of this stuff is amazing to me.
Winner at the end of all this is Zach. We'll send you a cookie. We hope you like it. Awesome. Sounds good. All right, let's move on to the next segment we got going on here because we love the energy we have building up so far. How you guys feeling right now, like in general? You guys doing good?
Awesome.
Feeling good.
So this is more of an obscure question to you guys. We'll see how you guys answer this. We'll start with Zach, and then we'll go to Kyle. What is one dream film that you wish was made? Maybe something that was like scrapped or sent to development hell or just shelved entirely. Is there a movie that you guys feel that you wish came to fruition?
So I thought long and hard about this, and I thought about like movies that were scrapped or... And I also looked at like directors fired like mid-production in movies, and then that movie still came on. But I think one of the movies that like sticks out to me is George Miller's Justice League.
Oh, yes, that's a good pick. So why would you say that?
Because it's following Mad Max Fury Road, absolutely banger of a sci-fi movie. He absolutely blew that out of the park. And just to hear him, just the idea of him directing like a Justice League movie, just like I was speechless when I heard that, and then quickly it went away.
That's a good pick. I love that. All right, Kyle, what do you think? What will be your pick?
My pick, this is ironic and funny at the same time, is an Interstellar 2.
Wait, was that like talked about at one point?
I feel like it was talked about at one point, but I mean, I don't know if it's still being developed or if it's still actually coming to fruition. But, you know, if you remember the ending from Interstellar, you just see Cooper driving off to rescue Bran, and then you see the whoever it is trying to like stop him from stealing the plane and leaving, yeah, or stealing the ship and leaving. So like, I feel like that would be some type of cool movie to like go into, and like having him be able to like travel through the wormhole and try to save Bran from that other planet that she's stranded on. I just think it's such a cool concept. I mean, there is, I obviously, like, why would there have to be another Interstellar movie? It's best to have it at the end of the plot line, you know. But I think it's a cool idea.
No, that is. I like that. Yeah, we are talking about, you know, any dream film that we wish was made. So I like that a lot. Santi, what would be your pick?
Boy, I had to narrow it down to two, but I just got to go with the one that's deep in my heart. And even though I don't think he's always the most consistent director, I think Guillermo del Toro's version of The Hobbit would have been something I really wanted to see. I love what Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings, but you could just tell he was exhausted by the time he started working on The Hobbit. And I think Del Toro had a very specific vision. We know how he is with creatures and monsters and this whole sort of fantasy setting. He could have made that a very whimsical and kind of different looking film instead of just, you know, another Lord of the Rings style. It would have had a certain, you know, sort of color palette to it. The monsters would have looked probably different than how they were described. I think it could have been something really unique and interesting in that Middle Earth universe, but sadly, he dropped out. I think he still got a producing or a screenwriting credit, but it just ultimately didn't end up being his vision, I think, because the project was taking too long and he decided to leave. So I would have loved to have seen Del Toro's version of The Hobbit.
I'll say it again. I say it on every podcast I get a chance to. I haven't seen a single Lord of the Rings movie or Hobbit, so I know nothing about that stuff.
I'm with you there. I have not seen any of the Lord of the Rings.
Fellow brethren, thank
you. Why don't you guys just quit podcasting? Go taste the food around the world, all the Hell's Kitchen stuff.
We'll do we'll go do that, and then you guys can go watch like more Lord of the Rings stuff.
Go watch The Path of Mordor in New Zealand.
That's funny. But I'll mention mine. I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with, like, you know, video game titles or franchises, but there was one movie that I really wish was actually turned into a movie. I know it was in development hell forever, and they were talking about actors about it, and they weren't talking about actors for it, but it was the Devil May Cry movie. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the game Devil May Cry.
I've heard of the game.
Yeah, and so to me, that was a really interesting concept of, like, just demons and then demigods and seeing that happen. I know it's, like, loosely based off the poem of Dante's Inferno. And I know for a time that when they were talking about directors, I would have also liked to see either Guillermo del Toro or Scott Derrickson helm it. But eventually they scrapped the movie, and now it's being turned into an anime at Netflix. So, you know, I get a win, I lose something, but I really wish I could have seen that sort of action in movie turned into real life. But we'll see if anyone else who's listening out there knows what I'm talking about, because for a minute it was being tossed around, but yeah, unfortunately not anymore.
Yeah. But Andrew, you mentioned the video game movie thing, and I was talking about Peter Jackson and Del Toro. I still can't believe early 2000s, Peter Jackson's Halo never ended up being made. I think it just would have been automatic moneymaker. Instead, we got whatever Paramount throughout.
That TV series that's on there?
Yeah, it could have been a really epic film from a guy coming off Lord of the Rings and that kind of scale, but then for whatever reason, it just never materialized back then, at the height of Halo's popularity.
It's funny you mention that, because that's also on my list. Like, I have a whole list of all of that, but yeah, Peter Jackson's Halo would have been insane to think about.
I feel like that's such a bad thing, though, with video games being adapted into movies. Like, there's so many changes into it. Like, you know, there's that new Uncharted movie that's from the video game with Tom Holland. I mean, that was meh, but, you know, the Uncharted video game was amazing. Like, I haven't played it, but I've seen, like, gameplay of it. I loved it. Just a video game, but the movie was just meh, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, same thing with, like, the Sonic the Hedgehog movies. I mean, there was that whole controversy, like, with that first one. But I've heard it's been getting really good reviews for some reason, unless I'm wrong.
Andrew loves Sonic movies.
I honestly do.
Like, I saw the first one. I thought it was pretty cool. I haven't seen the second one yet, but I think it is on Paramount Plus, now that I think about it. I've heard that was really, has been getting decent views from what I've heard, with now, who's in it now? Tails and the evil guy. Crap.
Knuckles.
Oh, Knuckles. Knuckles,
thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Knuckles is in it, and I'm like, I mean, it's cool to have them back, but I just feel bad with all these video game movie adaptations. Just been so bad for... back in the day.
Are you telling me Dwayne Johnson's Rampage did a turn it for everyone?
Didn't even know that's a game.
I saw that movie in D-Box. Oh my god.
Was it worth it or no?
No. I spent like $18 on a ticket. It was so bad.
Oh man. I remember Asante, when you and I were at Comic-Con, I think it was 17? I think like the last year that we went, they had a giant Rampage like exhibit and statue.
Oh, they
and
did.
that made me think that movie was gonna be like huge, like it's gonna be a next big thing.
That's how but they then, get yeah, you.
Then it came out and yeah,
a lot of hype with them, but bad like execution.
Yeah, I will say I like Sony's approach to how they're doing their video game kind of movies, TV shows. They're kind of giving it out to different studios. So the guy who made John Wick, Chad Stahelski, he's going to make the Ghost of Tsushima. I think Amazon's making like a Horizon one. HBO is doing The Last of Us. So they're kind of like giving it out to these different production companies. Just kind of see which one works. So we could finally see a turnaround with video game adaptations in the next 4 to 5 years. I really am fingers crossed on a lot of those.
We just need Screen Gems to stay away from those because the Resident Evil movies are just garbage.
Yeah.
That's cool, guys. I'm glad we get to know what your guys' kind of dream films were. And if any of you are listening, let us know too. Like, what dream film did you feel like you wish was made or you got to see come to fruition? But let's move on to our final segment that we got going on here where we get to unwind, relax. I know we just got through with our trivia and our debate. And started thinking about movies, so let's relax for a little bit and talk about some movie news that we got going on. How do you guys feel about the Batgirl cancellation?
A big joke.
Stupid. Dumb.
Very, very dumb. Can we add
that to the list of hypothetical movies we want to be made or seen?
I don't know.
It does work there. Do you guys have any initial reactions to it, or what do you guys think?
I'm just appalled that Warner Bros. Would do something like this. And the fact that Batgirl wasn't the only like HBO Max exclusive movie that they kind of like pulled the trigger on. I think there was a bunch of exclusives that they took away recently as well. But it just doesn't make any sense. Like they're doing it for a tax write-off, but $90 million is still... They're still losing so much money. I was never excited for this movie. And I'm sure I'm in the boat with most people. Like, they weren't really looking forward to this movie. But I think the biggest thing, I was just excited to see Brendan Fraser as a villain. It made no sense. I don't know. It just, Warner Bros. Is a joke, and they just made themselves even look more dumb.
I feel like it's just, there's no reason as to why they had to cancel it if it's already been, like, in production and stuff. And like you said, with Brandon Fraser as well, like, God, once the last role he's done, from what I can think of, is what, The Mummy or something?
Yeah.
Or from what I can think of is Bugs Bunny or Looney Tunes Back in Action. That's another underrated favorite of mine. Tangent. But yeah, but just, you know, bring back Brandon Fraser in general, like just have him back. But like you said, Warner Brothers is just stupid. And I have no idea what their heads are going through as to why they had to cancel this. And probably going to make another movie instead. But, you know, why not just push through it and see what happens?
Yeah, it's a weird situation because they have this whole merger thing going on with Discovery, and they have David Zaslav has come in, and some people say he's kind of just trying to like flex his power a bit and just say like, yeah, you know what, this is garbage, we're not bringing this screen. But at the same time, they're in this weird position because like, let's say Batgirl comes out or straight to streaming, and it is bad, but a lot of your movies have already been bad, and Warner Bros. Is now setting themselves up in this weird situation where it's like, okay, if they release another DC-related movie in the next 5 years and it's not good, let's say it's just critically panned, people are going to be like, well, why not the Batgirl? Like, are you just going to release elite movies from now on? So, super weird decision. I think even if it sucked, just put it on streaming, you know? Not a big deal to hurt, but yeah, really strange.
It's funny because I'm pretty sure they test screened it and it got similar reactions to the Flash movie. So like it wasn't like that terrible of a movie according to like the test screens.
The upcoming Flash movie with what was
Ezra Miller, yep. So it just doesn't make sense. I feel like even I don't understand why they decided to go forward with these HBO Max originals. Like they're just so behind on the game. Like they decided to greenlight these movies during a pandemic, and now that the pandemic is coming to an end a little bit, they realize, oh, the business isn't on streaming. Let's just scrap it. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they just release it in theaters? I feel like if they were to release it in theaters, they'd easily make their money back.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the main thing. It's $90 million budget. Okay, it's a little bit more for editing, marketing. This movie will make like $150 million, worst case scenario, and also, you know, get the budget back. It's just a weird decision all around.
Who's the one that's taking control the most? It's Discovery, right?
It's super weird, but I guess, I don't know, Cash Cab and Shark Week are big money makers for Discovery, so it was able to work
Cash
out.
Cab. Cash Cab?
I love yeah. Cash Cab.
I
love
right, Cab. I grew up on Cash Cab. That was my trivia show.
Oh, yes. I loved it. My dad and I watched it a lot. Yeah.
That is a throwback.
It is fantastic. But I don't know. I somehow Discovery ends up being the lead dog in this merger, even though Warner Brothers is just this massive ancient company. It's been around, feels like forever. But yeah, they have their person taken in lead. I'm just happy because HBO is not being touched. They're letting Casey Bloys keep doing his thing, and we'll still get those great programs. But yeah, Andrew, we might see some changes. I think, was it Walter Hamada is the lead of Warner Brothers? Maybe they'll find someone new. They got to find their own Feige to lead this.
I think they're starting to finally realize how important ratings are to them and like their brand. Because DC is right now known as like, I was telling you this earlier, Santi. Like, I felt like DC is this kind of like hot metal that you just don't want to touch. Like, no director wants to touch it. Like any DC project that no one wants it because they're afraid of the reputation. They're afraid of what's going to be tainted on their kind of resume. And I feel like when it comes to Marvel, people throw themselves at that. Like, oh, I want to direct a Marvel project or I want to be in a Marvel project. So I definitely feel like this new guy taking over is starting to think like us. Like, oh, we should worry a lot more about what the public is going to say about, you know, our brand now. And I think it's necessary. Cancel everything that won't make sense. Cancel it all.
Well, it's crazy because Joss Whedon was originally the director for Batgirl. Then he had all those the sexual assault allegations against him, and he resigned. So this whole movie, it's like everything DC does is just so controversial when it comes to things behind the scenes. It's almost like they need to just get someone to kind of clean that stuff up, do better vetting, and really just kind of dig into the meat of it, better have a better foundation and structure, because it's like all their movies are just shrouded in controversy now.
I just think it's very comical that they are, you know, the reason that they claim to do it is because they wanted to focus on more theatrical events, and then a couple of days later they released a statement stating that they were going to focus on a 10-year plan like Marvel, like and that they're going to make good movies. I mean, isn't that what they've been trying to do this whole time? It doesn't make any sense. Like, I think it's funny, though, because they were starting to finally get their footing. I think the past beginning of DC stage wasn't the best, especially Batman v Superman and Justice League. But the last few projects, I mean, Peacemaker was awesome. The Suicide Squad was fun. I had fun with Aquaman. It's not amazing, but I was looking forward to a sequel just to see what it was. But I felt like they're finally getting their footing a little bit and kind of separating a little bit from Marvel. And now here they are scrapping everything and then saying they're just going to repeat Marvel.
Yeah, it's almost like a reset to a reset. They have been trying to copy Marvel, as you said. That's why they rushed out the Justice League, what, like a year or is it 2 years after the Avengers? It didn't make sense. Because
it was so bad.
Yeah, it was insane. So they already have been doing it. I'm like, okay, we're going to do more of a plan of a plan. I like kind of what you were saying, Zach, is that recently, like, some of their movies have been more of a hit. Even though the Batman isn't part of that DC extended universe or cinematic universe, it still was, you know, successful in the box office and critically. The Joker was also a big box office success. So they kind of had this interesting thing going where they're like, we're just going to make movies, and if they're good, people will see them. Do they need some tightening up in organization? Yeah, but maybe they shouldn't lean too much into trying to make this, you know, Marvel-esque universe, and instead just focus on trying to make as many good movies, good stories as they can.
I feel like it's just so hard with Marvel to with DC to compete with Marvel at this time as well. Like, I just remember from the San Diego Comic Con a couple weeks back, like, everyone really focused more on the Marvel stuff versus the DC stuff, you know. So I feel like it's such big competition with these studios, and it's so hard to compete and so hard to, like, one up each other, because, you know, everyone's gonna focus more with Marvel, at least, because at least they have their shit together from what I can think of, compared to what DC has, you know, Ezra Miller, you know, being the Flash, and then that whole controversy going on. Like, how is Marvel's, like, whatever, we can, they are able to handle our own stuff, essentially. So just DC's just in the shit, sadly.
Yeah, Kyle, I wanted to ask you this, because I heard you guys talk about the Gray Man and on your recent podcast, and, like, your points were all valid. But speaking of what you're talking about with the whole DC thing, like, what do you guys think of, for instance, like, the Russo brothers? Because we know they had flops like the Gray Man and, like, Cherry. And so I want to bring that conversation here. Do you think that Marvel is doing good because, say, like, Feige or all those executives have, like, 90% control on what they're doing, and they're giving the directors, like, less, I guess, artistic freedom? And maybe in DC they're giving the directors, like, all control, and that's why they're so bad. Like, how, like, what do you think is, like, the issue here?
Should have got to process this. Hold on.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was surprised how bad the Gray Man was, and I was even more surprised with Cherry as well, because you have a star like Tom Holland. You know, I thought for sure there was going to be something there. Or the Russo brothers, right off of Endgame, Infinity War, you know, they're a household name at this point. You know, they're just as popular as the actors. And to see them pump out movies like this, it's just, it's very shocking. And it does make you think, like, oh, wow, does Feige actually have a bigger say than everyone's been thinking? I feel like for sure there's easily 60 to 7% pull that he has on his directors. And it's just kind of funny to say that, because, I mean, look at the last Thor movie with Taika. It looks like Feige didn't touch anything. Or with Raimi doing Doctor Strange, it felt like there was too much director power. I don't know. It's an interesting aspect.
What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, so what I think is, Marvel is, I think they have their shit, somewhat a lot of their shit together, and how they were able to have the Russo brothers create those amazing movies like Endgame and Infinity War. But then, you know, once Marvel is taken out of the picture, like what you see with Cherry and the Gray Man, it's like a completely different movie that we never thought was directed by these same people. We would think it's directed by someone completely new that we never heard of before. But then it's also on top of, like, it's the Russo brothers as well. It's someone who has a name that has a reputation that, you know, they created these amazing movies for Marvel, and you would expect the same output from them if they weren't associated with Marvel. But it's just sad to say that that's not the case, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, Andrew, because we're talking about the Russo brothers, and I think Zach was mentioning how they have become household names. They're as popular as the fans because, you know, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame, they were just so just awesome. They're some of the best movies we have in the MCU. And then before that, they were coming off Yumi and Dupree, and then they mostly did television. They did some episodes, Arrested Development, other stuff. So people are like, oh, okay, maybe they're going to be really good. They did Cherry. It's like, it was all right. But the Gray Man, is what's interesting about that is Joe Russo was also one of the writers for that, wherein I don't think they wrote Cherry. So you thought, like, okay, they got Netflix, they got Gosling, they got this big production company behind them. This should be good. They got a lot of great actors here. And it was just okay. And I'm actually checking right now. The screenplay was also written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. If those are familiar names, it's because what they did at Infinity War, they did Endgame, they did a lot of the movies with the Russo brothers. So a lot of times we criticize the big studios for coming in and disrupting the creative thinking of the directors, but really we don't know because we've never seen those other cuts. Sometimes maybe it is necessary. I think someone mentioned Thor Love and Thunder. It does go a little off the rails, and it's maybe too much Taika, and it needed some, you know, scaling back from Feige in the studio.
I think it's funny that they already made the Gray Man. It's called the Winter Soldier. So, like, how could something not replicate that even a little bit?
It's funny. It's the same actor also with Chris Evans being in both of them.
I know.
But a different way of it, seeing, like, how in Gray Man, Chris Evans' character is, like, psychotic. And yet in Winter Soldier, it's just, you know, it's Captain America who has a humble, like, voice or humble character.
Well, now that they're on Netflix, it makes you wonder, like, what does Netflix do for power? Because you look at a movie like The Red Notice, also very star-studded movie, but very, very bland. I fell asleep during it. Like, I'm just... like, what are they doing with their movies?
Man, I remember watching The Red Notice the first time. I thought it was going to be, like, really good. And now I'm starting to realize that Ryan Reynolds plays the same character in every single movie that he's in. Like, it's nothing changes. The same persona. And so I feel like, although Ryan Reynolds and, you know, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, they had their star power, I think it's starting to fizzle out. Don't you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his cameo in Bullet Train was his exact persona that he plays in every movie.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it's the same thing with The Rock. He plays literally the same exact character in every movie he's in.
I saw a picture on Twitter the other day. There was four pictures of The Rock, and he was wearing the exact same outfit, and it's, and the caption was, "You won't believe it, but these four pictures are all from a different movie."
Wait, I think I know what you're talking about, like in Jumanji.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Red Notice. Yeah. Yeah, same outfit all the time. It's funny. But all right, real quick then, I guess. Oh, last thing. What are you guys looking forward to watch upcoming up? Anything that you guys, that's on your radar?
I'm excited for Avatar 2.
Oh, yeah. That's Santi's big one.
Yes. Like, I don't care what people say. I like Avatar. Yes, it is what it is. But I'm very much looking forward to seeing what the Way of the Water is going to be like, especially with how big, like, and cocky Cameron has been about this movie.
Yeah, like, it's going to backfire, I feel like.
Yeah, I know.
So, I'm worried for him.
He's been hyping this movie up for the last 10 years, so I'm very much looking forward to see, like, what this movie is going to be.
Not so much Andrew, but I cannot wait to see Avatar 2 as well. I mean, just the time between the first one and the second one, the development of the technology, motion capness, underwater and all that, it's, I think it'll blow us away. Kyle, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, Avatar 2 is on my radar. I'm super excited for that. Wakanda Forever coming out in November. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited to see how that goes. Actually coming out this week is a Dragon Ball Z movie, so I'm excited to actually watch that. So
Andrew, are you going with your brother to watch that?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I'm going to see it with my brother. So
I said no thanks. I'm good.
What? Dragon Ball Z? I mean, it is. He is an overrated character, to be honest, but, like, it's Dragon Ball Z on top of it. Like, why not?
So I didn't have cable most of my childhood growing up, so I think when I first saw Dragon Ball Z, it was at a friend's house. I was like, oh my god, like, this is good. Because, you know, most of the animated stuff that we would get here in America, or like, it's just, like, it's all right. It's like, you get, like, Arthur, you get Caillou, that's pretty much it. Or it's adult animated. And then I was like, I was watching Dragon Ball Z, like, this is sick. But then I just didn't have cable when I got home, so I was just stuck watching, like, The Simpsons or Dragon Tales or something like that.
Yeah, the American cartoons.
Exactly.
The uncultured.
Uncultured swine. No.
Exactly.
I think one movie that I'm for sure looking forward to is Babylon from Damien Chazelle. I'm excited to see Tobey Maguire in an actual acting role again, especially since he's going to be playing Charlie Chaplin. So that's definitely something I'm super excited to look forward to.
Did you guys like La La Land?
I love La La Land.
You kidding me? Ooh, that's like my thing right there.
I wasn't the biggest fan of it when I watched it. I don't know why.
That's it.
All right, another next debate right here. Let's go.
We're going to kick you down.
Why not, though? Real quick, why not?
I don't know. I saw the first man, like, years, because that was also Damien Chazelle. And
yeah,
I don't know. I love Whiplash. Whiplash is my favorite movie. Yeah. Like, it's one of my favorites. I don't know. It just didn't hit with me that I didn't connect with that as much as the rest of the audience has.
Kyle, are you with him on that?
No, I love La La Land.
Oh, okay, thanks. Okay, here we go again. 3-1.
I just love the music, and it's Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. I'm like, come on.
It's really good. I loved it for sure. But okay, you know, we all respect each other's opinions here on the Tickets for Two podcast. We don't discriminate.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's, in a way, not to get too emotional here, like Interstellar, but that is kind of like, cinema's amazing because it's going to have like a different effect. Like, some people might be like, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Some people are like, no, it didn't really work for me. And I hate it when I see on the internet, like, people are like, oh, this thing sucks. It's worst thing ever, best thing ever. I've always talked to Andrew about it a lot off the podcast, but it's kind of like, I think I wish people would spend more time talking about like why they like something or why they dislike something versus mm-hmm. what we usually see on the internet, where it's just like this thing is bad because this actor was cast, or you know, because this one line that's semi-political was said in the movie. It's like, okay, that doesn't define the entire the filmmaking thing.
I was talking to another Instagram account about this actually the other day, and he was mentioning how the Mary Sue like argument is so overused, especially like within the past couple years, that is just like the most like arrogant, degrading comment whatsoever. Yeah. That shouldn't be used at all to describe a movie or a character in a movie.
I don't work for HBO, but I will shill for House of the Dragon, which comes out Sunday next week. I really have been looking forward to it. I know a lot of people like didn't like the ending of Game of Thrones. Andrew's never watched it. Keep that between
never
ourselves.
Never watched it.
Same, dude.
Big Game of Thrones fan right here.
Oh, okay. That's all you, Santi.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Take it.
I just can't wait for it. It's actually based on a book. They got one of the best directors from Game of Thrones back to help with the show running. I've read some of the story. I've been trying to stay away because I don't want to get spoiled, but it's pretty good. I think it's going to be kick-ass.
Yeah, I started reading the book actually this year. It is
dense. Yeah.
Dense.
Yeah, I got like the part where the show starts, and I'm like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to try to watch this as unspoiled as I can. But everything before that is just still fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think about, what, a week? Very pumped for it. Is The Whale coming out this year with Brendan Fraser?
Oh, the one by Darren Aronofsky? I think it is.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of hype surrounding that one as well.
I want to see. Yeah, I'm excited to see Brendan Fraser come back. Like that was the one thing I was sad about when Bad Girl got canceled, is not seeing him. All right, well, we're coming up to the end of our podcast now. I want to give a big thanks to Kyle and Zach for joining us on today's episode. We had an amazing time chatting with both of you. Thank you for everyone listening to us, and let us know how we did and what you thought about today's debate. Did you guys have fun, Kyle, Zach?
Yeah, I had an awesome time. I love the trivia little section we did, that little debate we had. It was awesome time. I'm really happy to be here, and I can't believe we've done this, and it's another collab we can add into our collection.
Yeah, today was a blast. I absolutely loved it. Trivia was so much fun. So was the debate. Hope to come on again soon.
Of course, we definitely love it, and thank you, very much for everything. The trivia was really fun. So at the end of our show, we like to give a spotlight onto all of you, and so let us know, like, what's coming up on your show? What do you have in the works?
I think we're doing a review with Bullet Train and Prank. That's coming up here soon. And then I believe we're going to try to revisit Daredevil and kind of do like a season by season review, especially with him coming up in She-Hulk and his future show in the next coming years too.
Yeah, and probably also some episodes on She-Hulk as well on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, make sure to catch these guys on their show, the Nerd Dose Podcast on Spotify, and check out their Instagram at nerddose.podcast, where you can check out their amazing content and their movie reviews. So thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. We will see you again next time.
We'll see you then. Thanks for joining us, Zach and Kyle. We had a great time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.